You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Sunday's NCAA Women's Championship game between Iowa and South Carolina drew a peak audience of 24 million viewers, according to Nielsen, making it the most-watched basketball game since 2019. To be clear, not the most-watched women's basketball game or the most-watched college basketball game in that time period, the most-watched basketball game since 2019. Women's sports have been gaining in things like popularity, advertising revenue, and ticket sales, led in part by a World Cup soccer dynasty. This season, a group of high-profile stars drew attention to the women's basketball tournament, led by Caitlin Clark, Iowa's record-breaking point guard, and also including Paige Becker as Angel Reese, Cameron Brink, and Camilla Cardoso. We're going to talk about their contributions to women's basketball and women's sports, the ratings, and where all the excitement goes from here. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you watch any of the NCAA women's tournament games on TV or maybe in person? How about the men's games? Have you noticed a change in coverage of the women's tournament? Have you noticed coverage of the women's tournament? Have you followed Caitlin Clark this year? What do you think she's done or means for women's sports? Do you have a young athlete in your family? Are they paying attention? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Mary Jo Kane is Professor Emerita in the College of Education and Human Development and Founder and Director Emerita of the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sport at the University of Minnesota. Mary Jo, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thank you, Rob. Thank you so much for inviting me. And boy, have you hit on all the key questions and issues.
Mary Jo, you've been following women's sports for a good while now. What did this NCAA women's basketball tournament mean for women's sports?
Well, I keep saying this over the last several years, and certainly since the 50th anniversary of Title IX in 2022. But I really think that this has taken us to a new stratospheric era, in that we finally have, I think, a critical mass of, first of all, great athletes, great competitors, superstars, supernovas, really, when you talk about somebody like Caitlin Clark. And you have a critical mass of people who are audience members, male and female. And I think finally a critical mass of both TV that finally gets it, mass media, and of course, corporate sponsorship. We have never been here before.
Let's talk a little more about Iowa's Caitlin Clark. Now, fell short ultimately in the finals to South Carolina. Here's the South Carolina head coach, though, Dawn Staley, talking about her opponent here, Caitlin Clark.
And I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport. And it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games. And we appreciate you.
Can we put too much stress on one name? How big a deal was Caitlin Clark's college career, now over, headed to the pros, as we just heard there? How big a deal was her career in generating excitement for the sport?
Unique, unprecedented. You know, I've talked with others where I talk about how she's not just great for women's basketball, for all of women's sports, and frankly, men's basketball as well. And a retort that I will often get is that, well, what you're saying, Dr. Kane, is that a rising tide lifts all boats. And my response to that is, that's true. But in Caitlin Clark's case, she's not just a rising tide. She is a tsunami of influence and a tsunami of impact.
That said, she had good players to play against. She had an amazing incoming class, and people are looking forward to her competitions, maybe against Angel Reese and others when they all go pro. The fact is, the caliber of players, not just Caitlin Clark, seems to be going up and up and up.
Yes, with every, I think, again, one of the great things that has happened two generations removed from Title IX in 1972 is that young girls today, for the first time ever in our history, grow up with a sense of entitlement to playing sports. They have access to scholarships. They have access to great coaching, conditioning, facilities, competition at a very early age. And they're not used to or willing to settle for hand-me-downs. So every generation, we get bigger, stronger, faster, better. And I think the other thing about Caitlin Clark is she's a winner. And that's what Americans love. When the brightest light on the biggest stage under the greatest amount of tension and stress, Caitlin Clark wants the ball. And Caitlin Clark, for the most part, has delivered.
She delivered, women's sports delivered. There have been concerns about, the NCAA and others not delivering back, a bit of a fiasco right. When the three-point lines in a series of the games at one of the arenas were different than each other, which is not really how you're supposed to play basketball. We hear, we see Olympic training facilities very different from men's and women's sports. Are, even as the women get the success and get the eyeballs on the TV screens, are they getting the respect from their own organizations?
Well, they're certainly getting more respect than they used to. But what's great about what's happened now, and I think this is why I go back to the first time ever, young women today grow up with a sense of entitlement to sports. Mm-hmm. And you certainly saw this with Megan Rapinoe and the women's soccer team with the Women's World Cup. Whenever an organization like the NCAA falls short, the response is not, well, don't complain, don't cause trouble, be happy for what we have. The reaction is instantaneous, and it's really, frankly, moral outrage to say, this is not acceptable. The other thing that's happening now that's never happened before, which is why I think we're at an unprecedented moment, speaking of protesting, is that female athletes take to social media to let the world, and certainly the NCAA, know their displeasure, and they embarrass and frankly, shame the NCAA into saying we will do better.
Mary Jo Cain is with us from the University of Minnesota and the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sport, looking at a rise of women's and girl in sport. The latest big example, the NCAA women's basketball bracket, the championship, the most viewed basketball game of all basketball games since 2019. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been a longtime fan of women's college basketball or women's soccer, or you fill in the sport there? Or did you jump in this last season, maybe just this tournament? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Looking a little more at Caitlin Clark, the Iowa star, and her impact on the game. Here is her talking after the championship game loss about a question about her impact on women's basketball.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, it's really hard to win these things. I think I probably know that better than most people by now. And to be so close twice, it definitely hurts. But at the same time, we were right there. We battled. We took down some really great teams to get back to this point, and it's something that's really hard to do. And, I think when I think about women's basketball going forward, obviously it's just going to continue to grow, whether it's at the WNBA level, whether it's at the college level. Like, everybody sees it. Everybody knows. Everybody sees the viewership numbers. When you're given an opportunity, women's sports just kind of thrives. And I think that's been the coolest part for me on this journey is just – we start our season playing in front of 55,000 people in Kinnick Stadium, and now we're ending it probably playing in front of 15 million people or more on TV. It just continues to get better and better and better, and that's never going to stop. When you continue to give them the platform, like, this, things like this are just going to continue to happen.
And Mary Jo, we've seen this at the college women's basketball level. What are you looking at in the WNBA, especially as this crop of amazing athletes goes pro?
Well, I think the WNBA is well positioned to accept Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and all the other fabulous women athletes who we now know as household names who will go into the WNBA. I already know, here in Minneapolis, we have the Minnesota Lynx, who have won four WNBA titles. And I'm already hearing from friends and colleagues saying, when's Caitlin Clark going to be here? When's the Indiana Fever going to be here? Because people want to see Caitlin Clark. I just don't think that this is going to be a once every 4 year phenomenon like the Olympics is often been the case. I really do think we are at a sea change and a unique moment in women's sports. And one other sort of quick thing here about Caitlin Clark, not only is she a great competitor and a winner, but as you could tell from her remarks, she clearly feels a great responsibility and has handled it well which is something that Dawn Staley was referring to. She has carried this burden well. She has been a spectacular ambassador for women's sports, not just with little girls, but with little boys as well. She's a role model, and she is one class act.
We're talking about the women's NCAA basketball championships. Iowa's outgoing star Caitlin Clark now going pro. What it all means for the rise of women's sports in America after record-breaking viewership for the final game. Our guest is Mary Jo Kane, Professor Emerita in the College of Education and Human Development and Founder and Director Emerita of the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sport at the University of Minnesota. You could join in now at 800-642-1234. Are you connected to women's sports as an athlete or former athlete yourself, a coach? Did you watch a lot of the women's basketball tournament this year, or do you follow other women's team sports at the college level, the pro level, you name it? Let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Mary Jo Kane, Professor Emerita in the School of Kinesiology and Director Emerita of the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sport at the University of Minnesota, talking about the rise in prominence and star power in women's sports. In particular, Caitlin Clark from Iowa and the NCAA Women's Basketball Championships that just wrapped up over the weekend with record viewership. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Mary Jo, I think I've asked you about this in the past, kind of a chicken or egg question. Media outlets say, well, we don't want to cover a lot of women's sports because nobody watches it, but then maybe nobody was watching women's sports because nobody was covering it and they didn't have it available to them on TVs. Have we broken out of that cycle?
Well, I certainly hope so. And, you know, one of the things that those of us like myself, who was a faculty member for 30-some years at the University of Minnesota and whose research focus often was on media coverage of women's sports, and you're right, it was, we heard this over and over again, that nobody's interested in women's sports. And my retort often was, well, how do you know that? You never let us see it or you never write about it. And what I think that this has really shown is that there is this vast, untapped, hungry, enthusiastic audience, again, to see not just women's sports because it's a feel-good kind of thing, but because you are looking at fabulously talented, dedicated, disciplined, committed athletes. And I think that, you know, corporate America has also noticed, finally, and they're not doing this out of an altruistic streak. They're doing it because they realize, because of such an audience and interest and such passion and commitment to women's sports, that it is a tremendous investment for their brand. And speaking of Caitlin Clark, I would argue that the behemoth of sports advertising in this country, State Farm Insurance, signed Caitlin Clark, and she is the first college player, male or female, to ever be signed by State Farm. So their investments are being returned many times over because of the interest and the compassion and the staying power of superstars like Caitlin Clark.
Now, soccer, women's soccer had a big run there with the success of the U.S. team. Now the world's getting a little more competitive. We have this big moment in women's college basketball. What sports do you have your eyes on next, Mary Jo?
Well, I think basketball and soccer will continue to grow. I think volleyball is really popular, certainly at the University of Minnesota and at the University of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Hockey in the upper Midwest is very big. Softball, you know, you can never count out softball. Again, I think what those of us who have toiled in the fields for a long time in terms of caring about women's sports is we have said for decades now, build them a ballpark and they will come, and they have in overwhelming numbers. You know, and I would also talk about, again, 2 years removed from the 50th anniversary of Title IX. I was often asked what the impact of that federal law has been. And, you know, I grew up in central Illinois in the 50s and 60s. I was a tomboy. There weren't sports at all for me. But the difference because of Title IX is that in two generations, we've gone from young girls like me hoping there is a team to young girls all over this country hoping that they make the team, whether it's, you know, basketball, soccer, hockey, whatever. They have opportunities and scholarships as long as they're willing to pay the price and as long as they're good athletes.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Ellen is with us in Milwaukee. Ellen, hello.
Hi. Thanks, Mary Jo. I just want to echo what you just said. This is a very personal celebration for me. I grew up as an excellent athlete in the 50s. There was nothing for me to do. My daughter was a professional women's football player. We had to have bake sales. There was no equipment, but the women were excellent, disciplined athletes. And I'm just celebrating this on a personal and a larger level.
Ellen, thank you so much for sharing that story. Mary Jo.
Yeah, I hear this all the time, Rob, from Ellen in Milwaukee, all across the country, whether I'm in person or on the radio or television. There are, you know, lost generations of young women who care deeply about sports, but just did not have the opportunity. And what I love about that is that I don't hear bitterness. I hear, like Ellen just suggested, a celebration of what this moment in time means. And it's been a long time coming, but it's just so wonderful to witness.
Ellen, thanks for that call. Dwayne is with us now in Westfield. Dwayne, hi.
Hey, how you doing? I was kind of curious. I mean, do you remember the night when the boys went to war, and it was around the 1940s when there was no baseball and they had the women fill in? So you've even got the Hall of Fame. And his question is that, unfortunately, that was starting to take off, and then all of a sudden they stopped it, but they never had a resurgence in it. So what do they think that if they can get the resurgence back now than prefer then?
Dwayne, thanks for the call. Mary Jo, I assume you're fairly familiar with that story.
Yeah, and sorry to interrupt there, Dwayne. You're talking about the All-American Girls Baseball League, which was memorialized and became very popular in the Penny Marshall movie with Tom Hanks and Gina Davis and Rosie O'Donnell. Yes, it did happen because of the men going off to war. But Dwayne's right. After the war was over, it basically just sort of petered out. I don't know that we have baseball coming back, but softball is tremendously popular. I don't have the exact statistics, Rob, but I think perhaps right behind college basketball, college softball might be one of the most popular sports that there is. I know they get all kinds of great ratings when they're on television. So softball, it seems to be where we are right now.
Dwayne, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Mary Jo Kane with the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sport at the University of Minnesota. Mary Jo, not every kid, boy or girl, who goes into sports, say at elementary school or middle school, is going to go on to play in college or pros. What does this mean for them? Do you see this maybe getting valuable athletic experience, team building experience for kids, even the ones we're not going to, you know, see on the sports pages in 15 years?
Oh, yeah. Sports is one of the very best activities that young people can be involved in. It gives you a sense of self-respect and discipline and teamwork, a sense of identity where you are part of something. If you're playing team sports, obviously, in particular, where you're part of a much bigger whole. And I know this may seem trite, but the life lessons one learns in sports always carries over into the rest of your life. And so, you know, if you're somebody who works in the business world and you want to hire somebody, I know lots of folks at the upper echelons of business always look to see, well, what kind of sports background do you have? Because those folks know either from their own experience or from seeing the fruits of what sports can do, is that if you have the discipline and the respect and the time management and the commitment and the passion, that all of those things that you learn in sports, those will carry over into the workforce. And it's just a great investment for this country.
Now, I imagine, Mary Jo, speaking of the business world, a lot of people in maybe sports media and networks, and as you mentioned earlier, advertisers may be looking at what just happened with the NCAA women's tournament and thinking, hey, maybe we should be doing something. What are you watching for from the money side of things when it comes to women's sports?
Well, I think the money and the investment is just going to grow and grow. You know, Lisa Bluter, the coach of Iowa, talks about Caitlinomics and the economic effect of Caitlin Clark. And that, you know, for example, she came to the University of Minnesota in the last one of the last games here at the Barn. I'm sure a lot of your WPR listeners maybe have even been to the Barn at the University of Minnesota. It was sold out. Every away game this year that Iowa played was sold out. You already talked about in your intro, Rob, about all of the attendance records and all the viewership records that have broken. And it just becomes this symbiotic relationship where you invest more and then you see a return on that investment and you just keep going and going. So I really do think that the sky is the limit to see women's sport as a great investment, both literally and figuratively. And again, I think we are just at this real inflection point in the history of women's sports.
And we'll leave it there. Mary Jo, thanks for joining us again.
And thanks, as always, for inviting me, and you take care.
You too. That's Mary Jo Cain, Professor Emerita in the College of Education and Human Development and Founder, Director Emerita of the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sport at the University of Minnesota. We talked to her today about the women's NCAA basketball championships that just wrapped up and what it all means for women's sports. You can keep sharing your stories, maybe what this means for you or someone in your family. You can email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, Amazon makes a lot of revenue. That's no secret. But are they using their massive market power to get extra money out of consumers and vendors? We'll dig into the company's bottom line, what it all means for you. And women saw gains in the U.S. economy over decades. Now they may be falling behind. We'll talk to the author of the new book, Women, Money, Power, The Rise and Fall of Economic Equality, tomorrow on Central Time.